The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on air and online at theticketfm.com. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. This is On the Block with Eric Strickland, Jay Foreman, and Austin Orman.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of On the Block. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. A lot of great stuff going on at their 3 Lincoln and 1 Omaha locations. We have the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings given away. Jay, you guessed 1,400 yards for Mike Stuntz in his Nebraska career. Best known, of course, for the reverse pass he threw for a touchdown to Eric Crouch. That was the one touchdown of Mike Stuntz's career, went for 63 yards in 2001. Then in 2002, he had 25 pass attempts, completed 10 of them for 100 yards. That brings his career total to 163 career passing yards. Just shy of 1,400.
Yeah. Eric was killing me. He said way under. I didn't know who Mike Stuntz was, man. I should know that because of that play.
That's right. You were kind of busy with this whole NFL thing at the time. So
I'm horrible with Husker history.
But you won.
Yeah.
You won.
I mean, win. I've only lost once.
You have. It's true. I got up the difficulty.
That day was too difficult, and you caught me by surprise.
I caught you by surprise, or Strick caught you by surprise.
Strick, it was you and Strick teamed up on me. One of twin powers activate, and you guys got active on me.
We sure did. Disc golf, Jake. You are the winner of the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Shout out to Westy on our Starter Human Jewelers text line. His favorite wings are the sweet Thai chili with the blue cheese from Buffalo Wings and Rings, and it's not even close. I have not tried those yet. You are not the first person to give those rave reviews. So hopefully we can get down there again sooner than later. I know that we always enjoy our partnership with them down at 68th. No, we're down there for the Super Bowl. We're down there for March Madness. A couple of fantastic, fantastic nights out there with the crew of Buffalo Wings and Rings. So Disc Golf Jake, 30 days to stop in, pick up your $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Jay, a question that's been kind of on my mind when it comes to Nebraska football in fall camp is, you know, can Nebraska get more explosive and more efficient offensively? Or if they can only do one, would it be better for them to be more explosive or more efficient? Because last year, Nebraska really slowed things down. We know that Matt Rhule is a big proponent of a traditional huddle, right? Get the play call in, get to the line. I don't know how much freedom Dylan Raiola had to make a lot of checks, but, you know, get to the huddle, get to the line, survey everything that's going on. Nebraska was very rarely in a hurry last year. I think some of that was, you know, on purpose, right? Freshman quarterback, relatively new skill position guys around him, certainly out of the transfer portal with your freshman quarterback. And because the defense was on the field, you know, a lot of the time, slow it down, maybe give them a little bit of a break. But Nebraska wasn't exactly efficient. Didn't score on a high enough percentage of the drives, which is why they averaged, you know, only in the low 20s for points per game last year. If you look at the playmakers and the offensive line that Nebraska has this year, do you see a group that might still have to play slow, but will be able to maximize more possessions by paying them off in touchdowns? Or do you see playmakers on Nebraska's offense that might be kind of boom or bust, but they'll be able to score from anywhere on the field?
Oh, man, that's I mean, I haven't seen him enough to really give you an honest answer. I just think that if they became more efficient, I'm a big believer the more efficient you are, the more explosive you become. Because it becomes a lot easier. So if I had to vote for, I mean, obviously I want a team to be explosive. Mm-hmm. But I think if explosive to me is you're waiting and waiting for, it's like a kick returner, right? And you know, we used to cover kicks sometimes against this guy named Michael Bates, and he was an Olympic sprinter, and I mean, he was fast, right? But I think a lot of times you go to games and you're waiting for that one every six games, or, you know, in the NFL, obviously there's 16 games, so one every six games, and then you only get it twice during the season. That to me is like when I think of just off the cuff explosive. When I think of efficient offense, I think of like the Patriots when they're able to do their things, and the Chiefs, they're very efficient, even though they can be very explosive. But really how they kill you is they are so efficient. The explosive plays are just like a walk in the park. It's like throwing on air because they're running it. They're mid, you know, they're hitting you with the short. They're hitting you with the intermediate. They're hitting you with the, like, I call it mid long play. So like a 12-yard dig or a 14-yard dig.
It still counts as an explosive, right, but kind of on the borderline.
Right, but then they'll catch it and they only get 2 or 3 yards, you know, run after the catch, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the next thing you know, they'll come out in that same formation. Boom. They'll hit you with it. Mm-hmm. I saw a really good video. I would like to have done a defensive breakdown in the Black Shirt Report. It's like of Cliff Kingsbury. They ran one play out of a bunch formation, right? With the same receiver at the point. And what the point means for people that are listening, in a bunch formation, it's like a V, right? Like a V. And the point guy is the guy is on the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, that's what you call it. You got the point. You're talking defensively. You got the point guy. Because a lot of times defensively, you can say you're isolated on the point guy, no help. And then you can play like a matchup zone on the one and the three. You could do all different types of stuff. Well, against Detroit last year, sorry, Nick Saner, they came out in this formation, and then they ran kind of a, let's just call it a RPO take, right? And it was a good run play. Right now, Detroit could have just fixed it by just realigning their linebackers. It essentially was one back, one gap, and then you can say, okay, we'll deal with it, be able to rally to Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, because they got Branch and those guys back there. Well, what they did is they made a check, essentially an overload blitz to the slot. Out of that, Cliff Kingsbury set them up, RPO action, boom.
Little play action,
scary,
fake,
scary
over the
Terry,
top.
Explosiveness. Mm-hmm. That explosive play was a byproduct of being very efficient of taking what the defense would give you on an 8-yard run. Right? Unimpeded progress to the second and third level. That puts the defense on the hold. That's a very, very efficient. It pretty much is an explosive run. Mm-hmm. Efficient offense, right? Mm-hmm. Third and four, you get 8 yards. Holy crap. We're resetting it, right? Now we're on our heels. Oh, we're gonna fix that right away. Boom. Explosive plays off of that. That's where I think I like efficient offense, because that means you're efficient in the run game, pass game, third down. In special situations. Now, you know, explosiveness, I mean, obviously, if we have Randy Moss and everybody, that, then I would say explosive.
Because I think that, I mean, if you look at Nebraska averaging 23.5 points per game last year, in terms of average yards per carry, 3.8, that's neither explosive nor efficient, right? That's not good enough. I mean, 4 is kind of the bare minimum of what you're looking for in terms of yards per carry. I don't have Emmett Johnson's long pulled up in front of me here, but it wasn't like he busted off a long one to go to the house. You know, Nebraska didn't have a whole bunch of deep touchdown shots. And that's where I think the next question with that, Jay, is, I mean, if Nebraska is not going to be, you know, the 2018, 2019 Chiefs, right, with you know, Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, and all the fireworks that Mahomes was doing, you know, can they find, you know, their Marquez Valdes-Scantling, for example, right? A guy that won't always do a whole lot, in Alec Pierce, right, who really only has one trick. That's to go deep, but Alec Pierce, I think, led the league in yards per reception. It's really up there just because, you know, yeah, that's one thing he could do. Could run past a guy. I think Isaiah Hunter can do that, right? I think he has a pretty good first step. I think he can be a vertical threat. Now, can he do it consistently, right? If you need a big play, is that where Nebraska looks? Do you trust Emmett Johnson, you know, to have put on maybe a little bit of speed or shed a little bit of weight so he can be a little bit more explosive? Is there another step in Ja'Cory Barney? But that's where I come back to this. Is it on Dylan Raiola and Dana Holgorsen to set these guys up? Or is it, you know, to make those plays, right? Get them the ball in space in a one-on-one and let them do the rest? Or if Nebraska is going to be an explosive offense, is that going to come from Dylan Raiola's arm talent throwing guys open down the field?
Oof, that's a hard question. I guess yet to be determined, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. I can see it to where they have so many weapons, number one, you ain't gonna do nothing until you start running. Like, you gotta run the football.
Better
like,
3.8 a pop.
Yes, and you gotta be more efficient, right? Mm-hmm. So we gotta be able to lean on that. And that's what you talked about, where they would probably like to do to be able to like bleed you to death, right? And be able to get 4 yards when you need 3, 5 when you need 4, whatever you need. And then obviously have some big runs, right? And they've shown, you know, Emmitt could probably, you know, do some of that. And he can help, you know, with the, I'll call it the makeshift run game and the passing game. That's part of the run game as well. Mm-hmm. You know, with how efficient your backs can be and making guys miss and behind the line of scrimmage, and now you got to run. So all that has to happen first. And then as far as, you know, the weapons out there, they have the hardest thing, I think, you know, to answer your question, but the hardest thing is going to be able to do is to make sure that you use the different body types and different attributes, because Dane Key is different than Hunter. Mm-hmm. Barney is different than Carter Nelson, but they kind of do the same thing, right? It can do. Then you got Lindemeyer, and then, you know, Harburg, and then Emmitt, and then whoever else is, you know, working in there behind or alongside Emmitt. Being able to game by game, situation by situation, quarter by quarter, probably, because you got to make in-game adjustments to make sure that you're putting people in the most advantageous position to be successful, which then will lead to explosive plays. So I'm assuming ideally you want to line up in a game where you got to close a game out and beat somebody up. Then if you get into a track meet, you want to be able to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But to hang your hat on a track meet probably is not what they want to do.
Certainly not in the Big Ten, right? We've heard that time and time again, or that's where maybe...
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You know, Indiana made it work against the schedule they had last year, but that's why it feels like maybe Jeff Brohm's teams were capped a little bit at Purdue. Big Ten's not really a track meet league. I mean, maybe Oregon, but even that, I mean, that's a relatively physical track meet, even by those standards at times. Maybe not as physical as a traditional Big Ten team, but Oregon's certainly not a pushover. And to that point, Jay, we get this from 1171 on the Sartor Hume & Jewelers text line. Between last year's offensive line and whatever you project this year's to be, which do you think is the better overall unit?
Well, I think they're better this year just because of, I mean, if Isaiah Pritchard and Rocco live up to billing, then they're better there. And then, you know, with Henry and then Justin Evans at center.
Because you're comparing them to Gatula, Evans, Scott, Lutovsky at right guard, and then Bryce Benhart. Would have been the 5 by the end of last year for Nebraska.
Yeah, and then you throw Gatula into this year, like a more seasoned.
Yeah.
Or
versus Mazuka last year.
Yeah, Mazuka, which is, you know, he was never you couldn't count on. I guess you couldn't count on him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there, then you know who knows what happened next. Then you're there, then you gone, then you got hurt, then so just by that alone, these guys have more talent, so they should be better. Now, cohesiveness has got to be what they need to work on. But also, last year's offensive line was probably a little bit more consistent. I think it was a little bit more consistent than people give them credit for.
It wasn't elite by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't as big a negative as it was the previous couple years. They were fine.
Yeah.
They were fine. They were good enough. They were fine.
They were fine, and I think also like, in the, I think what the easy thing, here's my analogy, like when I was talking to basketball players, easiest thing to do is to be negative and be a crappy teammate. When I'm talking about it, just in sports in general, the easy thing to do when people, I'm going to say this, and there was times, you know, like early in his career, Bryce Benhart was jumping off the sides all the time and all that, right?
That's a problem.
That's factual. Okay, but when he, like, doesn't, and then he obviously has some, you know, obviously you get beat, and like, you know, it's like double jeopardy. It's like once they dime you as, like, or tag you as crappy, they go, it's easy just to keep saying that instead of saying, okay, well, maybe they got more consistent. They got older, sure. Don't use that against them. They got older and they got more consistent. They weren't the best offensive line. They weren't the Joe Moore winning offensive line. That's right. Fine. They're not even saying that. Right? You never heard that come up. But what they did, they got more consistent. But they didn't get enough credit for the step that they made, you know, based that, you know, past, you know, transgression from 3 or 4 years ago.
And it's always going to stand out when there's a miscommunication and free rushers come up the middle. That happens to every team once or twice a year. You got to limit what you call the direct access plays, right?
Yeah.
We didn't see a lot of Nebraska necessarily resetting the line of scrimmage in a lot of ways, which is why you look at it. And I mean, yeah, Dante Debedell, 4.3 yards per carry. Emmett Johnson, 5.1. Ramir Johnson averaged just shy of 5 on just over 50 carries. And of course, you know, sacks factor in here. But Nebraska, on the aggregate, wasn't really a great rushing team. So that offensive line wasn't blowing anyone off the ball by any means. But then, Jay, you look at that Pinstripe Bowl, that offensive line helped close that game out. Yeah. I don't think the year before Nebraska closes out that Boston College game with a very similar offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's another year they got better and had a little bit more pride about, you know, about themselves. And they're kind of, you know, used to kind of how they do things over there. So I think, you know, it's one of those things. I think this year's offensive line has a ton of, not a ton, but I mean, they got options, and now they have, as a unit, that got to become the answer. And that's just what they can control. Like right now, this season is out of the coach's hands. I mean, in theory, like, obviously the coach has got to set, you know, forth the patch, you know, all this stuff, right? You know, the process, the plan, the blueprint. But really, this season depends on what those guys, 120, whatever it is, it's in their hands. Because, you know, you can't say, because the reps are going to be the reps in practice. The plays are going to be the plays, offense, defense, special teams. Now, what you do in between those plays and how well you execute the drills, that's really on you. I mean, you have to be coached, but you have to execute. Because you can't expect the coach to hold your hand. I mean, what are you going to be out there against Cincinnati and say, hey, man, you know, can you play a little bit off for me, please? Can you play inside?
Well, Jay, you just told us that Todd Grantham did exactly that.
No, he cussed me out because I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Oh, sounds
the
same.
In a loud stadium. When we were at home, by the way, I could hear his voice at home. And it probably became more clear because it became clear that I messed up thoroughly.
At home.
And I prided myself on not doing it. And then I doubled down on it because I was trying to be like a chump. And he knew he knew me so good that here's what I did. I took my mouth guard out. I had one of those, like, they were actually pretty sweet. They help you breathe. It's like it's a mouth guard, but it was just the top. So you didn't get concussions, or maybe it was the bottom. So I took it out and had it in my hand. So he knew exactly what I was saying. And I pointed at him and stuff. Yeah. So but
he was holding your hand.
No, he was one to probably sock me, but I think, you know, really what these guys got, I mean, it's on the player. And it's not to say that the coaches don't need to do their job, but, you know, if you're running, here's what people don't realize, the difference of, like, when you're running lines or gassers and touching the line, it's, are you willing to do the little thing that you think is stupid, but it actually has a bigger purpose? Will you go and run in the darkness because I ask and everybody needs you to without asking why? And the circumstances can't change it. Will you do it if you're up by 10? Or will you do it if you're down by 10? Will you do it if you're up by 20? And we hope we ain't down by 20, but you still have to do it. That's the whole point. And right now, these guys control everything. And the only thing that they can do is control what they can control, which is the effort, execution, and intent. And then obviously, the game plan and stuff will fall on the coach. They get coaches and they got to look at the matchups and all that crap. And that, but that's just their job. Their job isn't to hold your hand. And then they definitely don't need to hold your hand while you're getting paid.
You're a professional now.
Yeah.
I don't need coach handholding. Let's get to this to wrap up this segment from 1171 again. This person thinks, Jay, the offensive line takes a step back. I think you and I would disagree on that. It might look different than last year. I think it probably grades out about the same level. Might look a little different, but I don't think it's going to be a big step back. I think Coach Raiola's earned a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, okay, so who was left tackle last year?
Gatula by the end of the year.
So Gatula and Turner. So you think, like, Pritchard, yes, Elijah Pritchard, not Isaiah, it's Elijah. Who is this?
1171.
I'm going to tell you like I told Nick Saner when I was doing that read. They're doing it for Jay Foreman. This is Ebonics, Lincoln. Okay. Elijah, Isaiah, it's all sound the same. All sound the same. So Rocco. I mean, everybody's just got to play up to what their billing is.
Mm-hmm. I think Ben Scott was probably better. I'd take Ben Scott.
Over Evans?
Right now, yes. Evans will be fine. I think Scott was legitimately good for the most part.
I'll take Evans.
Okay.
I'll take Evans over last year's Ben Scott.
Okay.
First year's Ben Scott is different.
Okay.
I'll take Evans just because he's got a little bit more nastiness. I think he got a little.
All right.
He got that little, what's the little dude that always fight John Jones, the wrestler?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? The little chubby dude. That's, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be saying that about Evans, but you know what I'm saying? He's built like it. Mm-hmm.
So then it's Lutovsky and Spindler versus Lutovsky and Evans at guard.
I think,
Lutovsky swung over to left.
Spindler and Lutovsky.
Mm-hmm. Then your tackles are, sounds like Tyler Kanak, Knock, over on the right side, getting first team reps. And then it was a split between Gatula and Pritchett on the left side. At least yesterday, that's what
Ben,
it was.
So it really is,
Ben versus
is,
Ben
is
Hart.
Knack is it better than Ben Hart or as good? I mean,
Ben Hart was fine by the end of his career.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take a step back. I think if it'd be even. I mean, ideally for this offensive line, by you want to be better in better at week six than you were at one, and better than in 10 versus six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, Elijah Pritchard is a big dude.
1171 says he was average on an underwhelming Alabama offensive line, to which I would say, number one, progress is not linear, but that dude started as a freshman in the SEC. So maybe it was underwhelming as a whole. I'm willing to bet on his development right now.
Yeah. I don't know about all that.
Big dude?
Yeah. I'd have to think twice running into him a few times. I'd have to shake and bake against him. Sure. Yes, Daniel Cormier. That's who it is.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the good thing about it is they got a great opportunity to exceed expectations and then continue along with the standard.
We'll get to the rest of 1171's text. We look at some of the other rooms as well.
He's coming hard, man.
He's just giving his thoughts. You know, it's fodder.
He said everybody taking a step back. Hey, listen. He said everybody taking a step back. Including the water boy. The tight end is
Bobby
taking
Boucher,
a step.
You got worse.
Yeah. Give me some water. I need some creatine in my water. On ice.
Don't forget the rest of the day, you can get 40% off all wings, including Southern Fried Wings, Smoked Wings, and Cauliflower Wings. Rest of today only at both Lincoln Buffalo Wings and Rings locations, 68th and O and 40th and Old Cheney. They dropped some off for us. Big thanks to Michael for doing that. Really appreciate him dropping those. Bye. We will go to break. I will partake in a couple wings. We'll be back to break down some more Husker football at fall camp after this.